Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
I believe that Muslims have the right to practice their religion as everyone else in this country. That includes the right to build a place of worship in Lower Manhattan.
I was not commenting on the wisdom of a decision to put a mosque there. I was commenting very specifically on the right that people have that dates back to our founding.
It's a matter of time, and it's a matter of people in same-sex relationships coming out and sharing that they want the dignity and respect and protections that come along with marriage.
Children of every race, creed, and color need a father and a mother.
If you want to see what the love of God is, the place that you look is at a man bloody dead on a cross.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
All right, two quotes for you. One comes from a very famous Christian liberal. We use the word Christian there rather loosely. He's as liberal as you can get. It's John Shelby Spong. All right. The other one comes from a conservative evangelical Christian. You also know his name, Rick Warren. Here's one of the statements. When a thing grows weak and out of date, it is obviously soon going to disappear. That's also true of churches. If a church cannot change, it will eventually die. Here's the other quote from the other man. Clearly, change in both liturgy and structure is inevitable. This change will probably be radical, if not total. The forms that the church assumes in the past must inevitably die. One from a liberal, one from a conservative. Isn't that ironic? Both calling for the church to change or die. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 18th of August. Our call-in number, as we talk about the secularization of the church for this entire hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page where you can leave questions or comments for our guest and for us here in the studio at the Facebook fan page on the secularization of the church, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about the secularization of the church, Dr. Lawrence White. He's a regular guest and pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Dr. White, welcome back.
Todd, how are you?
Does it strike you as ironic that from a famous liberal, John Shelby Spong, and a famous conservative, Rick Warren, we have almost unison calls for the church to change or die?
Well, Todd, as I listened to your introduction and heard you start off by calling Bishop Spong a Christian, I wondered if perhaps I was on the wrong program. But it is indeed ironic, but it really shouldn't be surprising, because the common thread that unites the liberal with the conservative is a fundamentally misplaced focus as to the nature of the church. Because the church of what's happening now, that is the liberal that jumps on the latest bandwagon of everything, no matter what, and the conservative, the church of that's the way we've always done it, are both focused in the wrong place, namely on man. The church must be defined biblically in terms of God and His Word, the means of grace through which God comes to and defines His people. And if that's where our attention is, then whether it's new or old, contemporary or traditional, isn't really the issue. The question is it biblical? Does it direct us to God and Christ upon the cross, the means through which God comes to us in word and sacrament as he has defined his church, to be a community of redeemed sinners gathering together at the foot of the cross, born again in the water and the word of baptism, nourished and strengthened in that faith, in the preaching and the study of his word, in the body and blood of his son as it comes to us in the sacrament of the altar. That's an altogether different perspective on what the church is and what the church should be doing at any given point in history. Whether it's new or it's old really isn't the issue. Conservatives and liberals, in that sense, miss the point.
How does the average...
And I think that's why we find Bishop Spong and Rick Warren in the same place. Because they're both man-focused rather than God-in-Christ-focused.
How would the average person listening to us, sitting in church on Sunday morning, know if his or her church was becoming or had become secularized?
I think we go back to the issue I just attempted to enunciate. What you're looking for in the life of your church is the Word of God held high before us on a regular basis. A church that is not interested in catering to the felt needs of an audience, as we hear that language so pathetically used with regular parlance within our own circles, but the church, the genuine, the authentic, the biblical church, is about Christ on the cross in the means of grace. And the more that is held before us in substantive biblical preaching, in an emphasis on the sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion, in Bible study that is genuinely Bible study, not self-serving consumers sitting down to talk about their own experiences and their feelings, which is no Bible study at all, as that substantive contact with God in Christ through word and sacrament is recognized as and practiced as the core of the church in its activity, then you are where you need to be. The more that we drift away from that, either into the traditions of men in conservative churches or into the latest fad or fashion in liberal churches, the more one needs to be concerned that their congregation has begun to lose that focus and has drifted from that which defines and empowers the Church of Jesus Christ.
How has the pulpit, preaching and teaching, become secularized, Dr. White?
Well, Todd, I think what happens is preaching becomes entertainment. It becomes, to use a good Lutheran analogy, all foam and no beer. There is no biblical substance there. We're told entertaining anecdotes and offered pop psychology, and people expect the same self-reinforcing trivia that they get everywhere else in their lives, and they leave feeling good about themselves, having been very briefly entertained, and it better be briefly, because in every other part of our lives, that's the way it goes. Expository preaching, which is the hallmark of Lutheran worship, that is dealing with a biblical text in a substantive way, wrestling with and proclaiming the message of law and gospel from the Word of God, must be the heart and core of our worship and the heart and core of the calling of every one of our pastors. But that takes a whole lot more work on the part of the preacher who's preparing the sermon, and it takes a whole lot more work on the part of John Q. Average Pew Sitter, who is out there in the congregation. You know, we as Christians are called to transform the culture in which we live, recognizing the worldliness and sin that surrounds us, rather than simply following the path of least resistance and conforming to that culture. And whenever the church is comfortably coexisting with the world all around it, that ought to be a danger signal. That ought to be a red flag to any conscientious Bible Christian. That certainly doesn't mean that the world has become Christian. It means that the church has become worldly. And biblical preaching has, since the days of the Reformation, been the hallmark of the Lutheran Church, that which has set us apart from our counterparts both in Rome and in the rest of Protestantism, that recognition that the Word is the lifeblood of Christianity, and there is no substitute for that. Eloquence on the part of the preacher, oratorical skill, or all of the techniques of modern technology that enable us to project this and flash that and entertain and overwhelm. None of these things can substitute for the Word.
Let's take a break right here, Dr.
The Apostles.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, more with Dr. Lawrence White on the secularization of the church. We'll talk a little bit about, I think the apostle calls it preaching what itching ears want to hear. Think about it this way, based upon what Dr. White has told us so far in the first segment. Nowadays, a conventional wisdom is that the average person, unbeliever, seeker, whatever they may be, walking in off the street should be able to walk into your church and feel completely at home and comfortable. That means you're going to have to compromise how you preach the Bible, because the Bible doesn't make people comfortable. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the secularization of the church. Dr. Lawrence White is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. White, you were talking before the break about how preaching has become a combination of entertainment and using all the various media and technologies to wow and keep people's attention. The philosophy here, as you well know, behind this is that, look, the culture is what it is. We have to accommodate ourselves to the felt needs of the culture. People should be able to walk in and feel completely comfortable with what they're hearing and everything that's going on there. Is that kind of by definition what St. Paul was talking about when he said preachers that gather unto themselves those who only want to hear what their itching ears want to hear?
Exactly. You know, we're doing a Bible study right now, going verse by verse, word by word, through 1 Corinthians, and the more things change, the more they stay the same. We're separated by 2,000 years from that congregation in Corinth, and the problems that confront us are precisely those that confronted them. The devil's overall strategy remains the same throughout the ages, while his particular tactics at any given moment are constantly being adjusted. You look, and this brings us back to the fundamental dialectic of biblical theology, namely law and gospel. Luther's rediscovery, if you will, of that biblical truth that we are saved by grace alone, sola gratia, was predicated on the equally basic insight of the total depravity of man, that what we are is sinful, that sin is not merely the individual actions that we may or may not perform in our lives. Those particular transgressions are the symptoms of the disease, not the disease itself. That renders us absolutely helpless in dealing with our dilemma or in recognizing our dilemma. And if we're going to meet the man on the street where he is, then we're not going to be able to help him because sin has blinded him to the nature of his dilemma. And the opinio legis, the opinion of the law, as Luther calls it, is inherent in every human being. Every fallen descendant of Adam and Eve thinks they can help themselves and thinks they can either handle this on their own or at least contribute to the process by making the appropriate decision to follow Jesus or by performing more good works than sins and so on and so forth in the endless variations with which the enemy confronts us. And so if we are going to tailor our message to the unbeliever who happens in, we have precluded the possibility that we are going to be able to help that sinner. The law must be proclaimed in all of its intensity, and no sinner likes to hear that law. That should not be a comfortable experience. But only when the law is proclaimed in all of its severity can the gospel be recognized in all of its sweetness. They go together and must always go together. We can't let the world, once again, set the agenda because the world is totally depraved. Mankind, sinful by nature. His will in bondage to sin. And if he is going to be liberated from that bondage, our agenda must be determined by the Word of God, not the passing fad or fancy of the culture in which we live.
Dr. White, many will say, well, that's good. It's true, the message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That's all fine and good. But how is that relevant to me here and now?
Well, it's relevant to every human being by nature. And what it comes down to, Todd, I believe, is for pastors and congregations to trust and believe in the Word of God when it says that. To trust that God, in fact, knows best what man needs and how to meet man's needs. Because every time we resort to the latest technique or the current fashion or the program that is sweeping through Christendom with great results right now, we are, in effect, saying, well, yes, God, we know you said that, but times are different now, and we really know better how to do it than the antiquated methods that you spelled out for us in your word. We've got to be willing to trust the Lord and to stand on his word. And that is in a very basic sense, isn't it, Tom, the essence of faith? To be willing to leave the outcome to God and just do what he tells us to do. That's faithfulness. To recognize that results are not our problem. They're his. We are to trust and obey his word and leave the rest to him.
Rob in Hillsdale, Michigan writes, he says, in his exposition on the Sermon on the Mount, and in particular in his comments regarding Christ's emphatic statement that we are the salt of the earth, Luther said, quote, the real salt is the true exposition of Scripture, which denounces the whole world and lets nothing stand but simple faith in Christ. Rob goes on to note that Helmut Thielicke agrees, adding, quote, salt bites and the unadulterated message of judgment and grace of the grace of God has always been a biting thing. Rob says, can Dr. White comment on the relationship between the tragic deterioration of faithful law and gospel preaching in Lutheran churches and their secularization? The real question today, it would seem, is where is the salt?
Indeed. And Jesus did not say, it is pertinent to note at this moment, that we are the sugar of the earth. It shouldn't be sweet and teasing to the unregenerate ear. It should sting. And that stinging halts the decay of death. Lutherans have always, in our better moments, we haven't always, but in our better moments, we have been that church of law and gospel that is willing to trust the word of God and leave the outcome to him, that recognizes the fundamental problem which we confront as the church and the reason why we are here to be the salt and the light and the gleaming city set high upon a hill, not with a social agenda or to create a morally superior subgroup within the greater culture as a whole, but to proclaim the message of Christ and him crucified and leave the rest to him. And that's where I believe much of Lutheranism, even conservative Lutheranism, has abandoned its calling and failed to seize the moment before us now within this dying culture. We must preach the word in season and out of season. We must be willing to let the law thunder so that the gospel may heal and uplift, and trust that God knows best how his church is to carry on its ministry.
What about church music, Dr. White? How has it been secularized?
Well, I think the same principles apply here that we've already discussed in a number of other contexts. The fundamental question must be, what is the purpose of worship? What are we supposed to be doing by divine command and promise when we come together as the people of God around word and sacrament? Luther's insight at the time of the Reformation, which was such a great impetus to the success of the Reformation in proclaiming that message of law and gospel, was that when we combine substantive biblical texts with music, that will assist that message of law and gospel being conveyed and communicated effectively to the people. If our musical approach simply becomes one more form of entertainment, one more way to titillate the senses of an already jaded audience as we try to compete with the entertainment world all around us, then we have forgotten who we are and why we're there. Now, at this point, some of our more flexible critics might say, well, you know, this is all a matter of taste and style. Well, not really. The question is, does the music carry the message? The music is not an end in itself. The music is simply a way to convey the biblical message. God's people have always been singing the songs of praise. From the Psalms of the Old Testament down on through the triumphant visions of Revelation and into our own day, that message of salvation cries out to be sung. But it can't be all fluff and nonsense. It must be a substantive biblical message. And that takes us back to all of the observations we've made in the previous context.
All right, let's take another break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Lawrence White on the secularization of the church. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. You'll find the reformer Martin Luther's thoughts on Jesus' high priestly prayer and the passion and resurrection according to John in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Works, Volume 69. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Luther's Works, Volume 69 by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Luther's Works, Volume 69, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Making equality before the law a reality.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Nebraska has once again proven that its state motto, Equality Before the Law, applies to all residents, including the unborn. By an overwhelming margin, the state legislature voted to ban abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy, except when the abortion would preserve the mother's life. Governor Dave Heineman signed the bill into law the same day it passed, and the measure will take effect in October. Nebraska was the state that launched the partial birth abortion debate, which led to a ban on the practice in all 50 states. Listen next time for more.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. For more about our work to mobilize and advance pro-life women in politics, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 25 more minutes with Dr. Lawrence White, pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, talking about the secularization of the church on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 18th. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. We've left space at our Facebook fan page right there in real time, facebook.com/issuesetc, for your questions or your comments. Also, you can send us a tweet at issuesetc, an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or just give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. From Facebook, Matt in Norman, Oklahoma says, is the secularization of the church different than the commercialization of the church? If so, how are they different, and is either beneficial? Dr. White.
Well, I think commercialization is simply one aspect of secularization. It's the same concept, the same principles, set of flawed principles applied specifically in the realm of economics. what we're ultimately going back to here is the distinction between what Luther described as the theology of the cross and the theology of glory. The world rejoices in that which is big and prosperous and successful, while God's reality expressed to us in Jesus, his ministry, and the outcome of that ministry on Calvary, shows us the emptiness and the futility of all of those worldly things. And so we end up with massive mega churches with huge budgets and celebrity preachers and orchestras and this, that, and the other thing, and massive institutional complexes and so on and so forth, raising millions of dollars. And everybody says, wow, you know, that church is very successful. But where is Jesus? And where is the cross in all that? And what happens to any biblical concept of pastoral care and Christian community in a mega church with thousands or tens of thousands of members raising millions of dollars? What we've done is we've taken that worldly theology of glory and allowed it to reshape and redefine what it means to be the church. Big money, big numbers, that's not what Christendom has ever been about throughout its history. Christendom is always the faithful remnant within the greater whole. The devil always has the numbers. He always has, and he always will. But the devil, as we say here in Texas, is all hat and no cattle. He's got the numbers and the appearance of power, but it's all a lie. The real power, the real life, the real success is in Jesus and in the cross. And you don't need to be succeeding by any worldly standard. And in fact, once again, if you are, that's probably cause for serious concern. Because the faithful remnant, that tiny fraction of the overall group, has always been where the Lord lives among his people. And the glory of that remnant will not be revealed this side of the second coming in heaven. And so I think commercialization is merely one aspect of that broader concept of secularization that we've been talking about, Todd.
You mentioned just a moment ago pastoral care. What's become of the pastoral office as the church has become increasingly secularized?
Well, I think what has happened is, again, a carryover of the more basic problem. The pastor from the biblical perspective, is first and foremost the advocate of the word, he who preaches and teaches that word and administers the sacraments in accordance with that word. He is that individual called by God to that congregation to be the word's spokesman, the word's defender, the word's advocate. Then applying that as, to use the traditional word in Lutheran circles, the Seelsorger, the one who takes care of souls within his community of believers. Now, once we've multiplied that community out into thousands, all of that divinely intended intimacy gets lost in the shuffle as we're trying to build and expand and succeed and impress. The pastor is God's man using the only resource and weapon made available to him, God's word, to equip his people to fight that good fight of faith, to defend them against the errors and the falsehoods constantly assaulting them every day of their lives, and to come to them in their moments of need with the healing balm of word and sacrament to make those shut-in calls and those hospital calls. You know, they're not very glamorous. They're not going to build up your numbers or expand your budget. But that's where pastoral ministry takes place. The pastor is to be the man of the word at the heart of that congregation. And his attitude toward that ministry will, to a large extent, define the life of that congregation.
Janet comments via Facebook in Livonia, Michigan. She says, what I always hear is, you have to get them in the door in order to give them law and gospel. So we need to find ways to bring them in. Your thoughts there, Dr. White?
Well, and you have to get them in the door then leads us back to gimmicks and techniques and programs and so on and so forth. If we trust God and His Word and do what God tells us to do, be faithful in preaching that Word in season and out of season, then we will be content to leave the outcome to Him. Don't do what the world tells us we have to do. Do what God tells us to do and trust that what He says will work because the power is in that word. You can't gimmick or trick them in and then expect anything substantive to happen once you've got them there. What we do as pastors, using that word within a living, word-based, substantive community of believers, is let the word do the work, because it's not us. It's not our people. It's the Spirit in the word accomplishing His purpose and His plan. Now, that's a difficult thing to do in a world like ours with people like us who are so result-oriented. You remember Moses at the burning bushes? He's going down his list of excuses, and, you know, he says, God, I can't go. This just isn't going to work. Pharaoh isn't going to listen. I'm not going to be able to get my foot in the door, we might say. And God's response is, leave that to me. You don't worry about how Pharaoh is going to react. Just tell him what I told you to tell him. Speak my word, and I'll take care of the rest. And if there was a message I could convey to the church today, it would be just that, Todd. Speak God's word and leave the rest to Him. He'll make it work, as He always has. It's not up to us. It's up to Him. He calls us to be faithful, not to be successful.
When we come back from this break, this, of course, runs completely against the grain of all the conventional wisdom in the church today. What are we being told? Incessantly, what are we being told? With great urgency, as though our very, well, the calls for the church to change or die are only shorthand for the urgency with which we're being urged to accommodate ourselves to the culture, stop doing what we have been doing, find new ways of growing the church. We're being told that church has to stop thinking about itself as the church. Some would suggest that we redefine the church altogether, that we're at liberty to do this, that the church can be defined and redefined and can be changed and can be modified and evolve in the context of the culture. And many think they're actually pulling it off. Others say, well, the church can remain the church, but how we do what we do has to change. After all, don't we have all this technology? If we don't avail ourselves of this technology in every possible corner of the church, aren't we wasting the resources God has given us? The great urgency with which the church is being told that it must change or die might scare some people. They might say, well, maybe they're right. Maybe if we don't change, maybe if we don't dispense with the old practices or find new ones, maybe we will die. Sounds like a crisis of faith to me. The Issues Etc. book of the month for August is the latest English volume of Luther's works. From Concordia Publishing House, it's Luther's Works, Volume 69, Luther's Sermons on John, Chapter 17 through 20. A little snippet of the Bible, but a lot of preaching from the reformer Martin Luther in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. 1-800-325-3040 is the number for Concordia Publishing House, or find it at our website, issuesetc.org.
It was good enough for mother, it was good enough for father, it was good for sister and brother, it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion.
Our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church. Welcome back. 10 more minutes in our conversation with Dr. James Lawrence White on the secularization of the church. Dr. White, back to our listeners' questions. Jim in Morton, Illinois says, are even the most diehard church growth LCMS Lutherans, that is Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Lutherans, finally waking up? What are your thoughts on the state of a church that has drunk deeply from the wells of the church growth advice of late?
The most basic problem, the most negative impact of our extended flirtation with church growth and the abandonment of Lutheran theology, which that flirtation has represented, is a level of biblical illiteracy unprecedented in our tradition. And the less our people know about the Bible, the less capable they become of facing the challenges of these days. What's going on in the culture all around us today is in many ways unprecedented, as two religious worldviews clash with one another, at the center of which, one of which is God and His Word, and at the center of the other is man by himself, defiant and disobedient, rejecting any standard of knowledge or morality beyond himself. And at the same time, what's happening is an evolving technology with internet and entertainment and so on that becomes more and more intrusive into the lives of all of our families in a way which never would have been possible before. You combine those two, and you look at the overall trend within the culture and the direction in which it has gone over the last few decades, and it becomes very difficult to be optimistic for the future. This isn't about, at this moment in history, denominational control or denominations at all. It's about whether the Christian on the ground within the local congregation has enough biblical knowledge, enough solid scriptural content to recognize, to discern the manner in which the devil is attacking and combat that attack. And I must say, I believe it is difficult to be optimistic at this point in time. Parents cannot control what goes on within their households or within the minds of their children in our day in a way that they could have in generations past. You look at the generational divides within our own congregations, and you find that the younger folk have been much more impacted and influenced by current cultural trends and by this brazen new godless religion that glories in self and rejects any standard of right or wrong or true or false beyond me and what I feel and what I think. And I think that poses a serious threat to the survival of biblical Christianity within our country and within our congregations.
Are we, in essence, I mean, to listen to you describe this, Dr. White, it sounds to me like we're facing a crisis of faith. Do we believe that God can do what he has promised he will do by his word alone?
And I think that is precisely the issue. And in a sense, it has always been the issue. When Luther raised the Sola Scriptura at the time of the Reformation, the Roman Church scoffed at the idea that the Word alone could inform, nourish, and sustain Christian faith. They needed the structure and the tradition of the Church, the Schwermerei, the Pentecostal charismatics on the fringes scoffed at the idea that the Word alone could accomplish these things. And Luther's contemptuous response to Münzer, of course, was, I don't care if you swallowed the Holy Spirit feathers and all, show me in the Word where it is written. And Luther believed with all of his heart that the common peasant armed with the Word of God was stronger than, spiritually speaking, stronger than all the popes and councils across the generations. And that's where we must be today, Todd, trusting in with that same unrealistic faith that God in his Word will preserve his church and equip his people to meet the challenge of these days. And that's why it becomes all the more urgent that pastors and congregations return to and cling to that Word as the core of the lives of their own spiritual lives and of the life of their church together. Each of our congregations must become, even if it's an island alone in a swirling sea of doubt and skepticism, must become a bastion of Word and sacrament, where God comes to us in the means of grace that he has ordained and established, as we, empowered through those means of grace, trust and believe his promises that his church will stand against all of the assaults and attacks of the evil one.
Finally then, Dr. White, with only about a minute, many guests on this program have observed and have opined that the secularization of the church, the influence of the church growth movement may well be preparing the next generation of Christian liberalism, if not apostasy. Do you share that concern about our children and our grandchildren in a secularized church? About a minute.
I do indeed, in the sense that this godless religion that has come to predominate in American culture is mutually exclusive in every way with biblical Christianity. And the illiteracy, the biblical illiteracy of so much of Christianity today, as Newsweek noted a few months ago, American evangelicalism is a mile wide and an inch deep. Given that fact, I don't think the risk is liberalism. Liberalism takes some knowledge. That's too much work for most of us, for most Americans today. I think apostasy is a more realistic assessment of where we are headed in the days to come without a dramatic return to Scripture.
Dr. Lawrence White is pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Dr. White, it is always a pleasure, and thank you again for not only your personal support, but for the support that your congregation so generously provides to Issues Etc. and our work here.
Well, Todd, that will continue. You guys are in the forefront of what needs to be done. God bless you.
Thank you. Folks, you can help support Issues Etc., Real Reformation Radio, by making a tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for remembering us during the difficult summer months. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the dangers of hipster Christianity. Brett McCracken will be our guest. It is a crisis of faith. I've thought long about this for now 20 years, formally, as a Christian pastor. What is facing our church? What is the question that is the beating heart of all the calls for change or die? Drop the old ways. Say goodbye to the simple preaching of God's word in law and gospel, and jump on the bandwagon for all the new methods, all the new ideas, all of the fads and fashions. What is behind all of this? It's a crisis of faith. Christ has promised that the church is His. He created it. He continues to create it. He sustains it. He continues to sustain it. He grows it according to His will. He continues to grow it. He protects it. And He says that He will see this church, His body, on through to the end, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And He will do it, He promises, solely and completely and with nothing other than His word. Do we believe this? Do we believe that Christ, by His word alone, can create and sustain and grow and protect His church? Well, really behind that is a different question. Do we believe it is still Christ's church, or have we, like unruly tenants, taken possession of it and try to run it ourselves? I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois. 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.